welcome to the Hermeneutics Podcast. I'm your host, Nahum O'Brien, and this is the program dedicated to the art and science of biblical interpretation. And with me today, we have a special guest, Nate Pickowitz, who is a pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. He holds a BA from Muhlenberg College and a master's from Trinity Theological Seminary. He is also the author and editor of several books, which I'm sure you'll be familiar with, including Reviving New England, Why We Are Protestant, and American Puritans. He has also written for Table Talk and Credo, and is one of the founding members of Reformanda, a ministry with the aim of promoting sound doctrine. Now, Nate, is there anything that I missed? Anything you want to fill in? Tell us a little more about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great intro. I'm married. My wife's name is Jessica. We have three kids, and I'm actually really proud of you for getting the name of my town right. It's most people who don't live in the area don't pronounce it right, but Gilmanton Iron Works, that's the full name of my town. And it's this pretty small town, and I'm thankful to be here and been here. We planted the church in 2013, so we've had a good run so far, and just really thankful for God's provision.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are a Boston Red Sox fan.
I'm a Sox fan. I've been a Sox fan since I was about 16 years old. So whether they win or lose, I love them. And hopefully they'll start winning again. So that'd be good.
as a Cleveland Indians fan myself, I completely understand that sentiment. That's we right. Just hope for the best, always expecting the worst. but the reason we're having you on is you recently put out a new book entitled How to Eat Your Bible, a simple approach to learning and loving God's word. And I wanted to have you on because I read it, and I'll give Moody Publishers a shout out here. They sent me the book for free just for having you on the podcast. And so I'm very thankful to them. Thank you very much. But the book, I've read it. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic primer or an introduction into study of biblical hermeneutics or biblical interpretation. And so what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, I mean, it came out of a period of my own life where I was struggling. So I wrote the book for either new believers or struggling believers or people just wanting to kind of get farther along in their Bible study. And, you know, I've been going to church for a number of years and, you know, been doing well with that, enjoyed being at church. But, you know, the one nagging problem that I had was that I didn't know God's word. You know, I would kind of spot read here and there, and I'd tuck a couple verses away, but I just did not have a sound grasp on the whole narrative of Scripture. I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know how He speaks and how He thinks, you know? So it just began a period of self-discovery and working through studying. The Bible reading plan that I outlined at the back of the book is actually the one I followed. I kind of modified it from a couple other places, but I followed that plan and just began to learn and love God's word. And so when I sat down to write the book, I pitched it a couple of years ago to Moody, and they thankfully accepted it. But when I sit down to write it, I really just wanted to write it to those people, basically to people who were in my position all those years ago, and just to try to wrap my arm around them and help them and encourage them to be able to get to know their Bible, not in a way that would shame them and frustrate them, but a way that would spur them on and help them. So it really is written at that level and for that purpose, to help people who are struggling.
And so give us a short summary of the book. What's the book about? I mean, you kind of mentioned it just a little bit in your introduction there, but those who would buy this book, what are they expecting to find in, and how can it help them?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So the title itself comes from Scripture. You know, there's several places in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, even David writes about it. You know, that the whole idea from the Bible is that in the same way that we are to eat regular, tangible food to feed our physical bodies, God wants us also to eat spiritually His word to nourish our souls for eternity. You know, so we're in the process of growing to understand and to know His word and what He expects from us. And so the book itself is really designed to teach people, like you mentioned, the very basics of hermeneutics. You know, most people probably on the street don't use words like that. I mean, obviously, once you've learned it, you can't get rid of it. But, you know, for most people, it really just means how to read and understand and interpret the Word of God, and then to apply the Word of God to yourself. And so I just follow really three basic steps of how to read, how to understand what the text means, and then how to apply what it means. And I try to wrap that around, you know, dealing with some of the issues of biblical illiteracy. I talk about the importance of praying through the process. And again, I try to give as many helpful tips as possible, but really the big picture is, how do I take this huge book and read it and understand it for myself and really apply it? How can God use this in my life to draw me closer to Him? So it is, you know, simplistic in its aim, but there's a lot to the book itself, as you probably know.
Yeah, and looking through your table of contents, you break it up quite simply for the reader. The what I noticed, though, is what many hermeneutics books don't have, and that is a chapter devoted to the idea of praying, praying for the Lord's guidance and interpretation of the Word. And so, what made you really include that? Because I do find that unique amongst hermeneutics textbooks.
Yeah, so it's interesting you mentioned even textbooks, because in ministry as a pastor, you know, people would ask me, you know, what do I do to study? And I'd give people tips and stuff, but most of the resources that I was trying to recommend to people were either really, really basic, and it just wasn't really much to help them. It was kind of sort of generic concepts. And again, those kinds of books are very helpful in their own right. But I wanted to do something more than that. And then the other side of it, it was an actual textbook. You know, I've read hermeneutics textbooks that are very good, but like for someone who's struggling and frustrated, they're not going to take a book like that and use it. So I wanted to bridge the gap. And, you know, in my own process, you know, I remember specifically asking God, like, get into a place where I got on my face before God and said, Lord, I don't understand the Word of God. I don't know the Bible. I don't know you really. And I began with a place of repentance and just praying through it, because the Bible isn't just an intellectual book. It's also a spiritual book. The Word of God is living and active, Scripture says. So there's something spiritually going on when a believer interacts with the Word of God, and you need the Spirit working within you and through you to give you understanding. So I just don't think we can underplay the value of prayer. You know, I don't want to just know facts about the Bible. I want to have an intimate relationship with the God of the Bible. So, you know, I think it's really, really important that you do approach the process prayerfully and humbly. And I think God is faithful to respond to you when you do pray.
And then after your chapter on prayer, you have very simple, and I think that's one of the benefits of this book. It's very simplistic, and it helps get the main point across very easily and clearly. Reading, studying, and using. And I think one of the key features of your book that would be unique from others is the plan that you described that you went through. I think it was a modified version of something that you found in MacArthur Study Bible. But yeah, go ahead and tell us that key feature, the chapter on the 7-year Bible plan, how you came up with it and how it was useful to you.
Sure. Yeah, I think when people hear 7-year Bible reading plan, I think they kind of panic for a second, you know, like, oh, 7 years, that seems like a long time, you know. And certainly I try to make the point too that, you know, it's not imperative that you go through 7 years of this. That's not the idea. That's just the plan that I used, and I think it was helpful. But the big idea is to change the way that we think about Bible study. There's nothing wrong with doing your Bible reading in a year, nothing wrong with that at all. And I'm trying to be clear not to disparage that. But I think for most people, if they're doing that through the Bible in a whole year kind of a thing, and it's not working, or they're becoming frustrated, or they're not able to get through, or they're not remembering what they're reading, it may be because your approach needs to change. And I think sometimes we approach Scripture from the perspective or from the standpoint that I just have to get through and read it and just get it into my head. And that's true. You do have to understand it. But really, we should be learners and students of Scripture. And it should be a whole life endeavor. You know, if I'm 40, 41, and if I'm going to be alive and a Christian for the next 50 years, let's just say, you know, how do I approach Scripture in a way that's going to, you know, invest my heart into the Word for the next 5 decades? And so really, it's about, you know, approaching it from a whole body to whole life perspective. So I want to read to understand and to bury it in my heart. So the original plan, I did reference it from the MacArthur reading plan. MacArthur himself actually borrowed aspects of his plan from another person. So I think this has been around for a while. It's just kind of get repackaged every few years. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to spend, you know, 30 days in one individual book, a New Testament book. If it's a longer book like the Gospel of John, you can break it up into parts, three parts, four parts, whatever it may be. But the idea is that every single day you're studying and invested in one specific spot. And then as you begin to work systematically through, eventually you get through the entire New Testament. I started in the New Testament. So New Testament study every single day for 30 days in each book put me about 3 years in. And then once I finished that, I says, well, I want to do that with the Old Testament. The idea of going through each book of the Old Testament 30 times in a row, there's more content. It was just a bigger task. And so I shortened that process and I put myself through the Old Testament in about 4 years. 4 years and change as I took a couple of weeks off here and there. But the big idea is, you know, investing yourself in a longer term approach. And even that, even going through that process, it's just continuing to bear fruit. You just get a much better understanding. If you miss a day, it's not a big deal. You know, like you're still in the same spot. So there's not the pressure to just power through. You know, you're there to camp out there and to really be nourished by the Word of God. So whether you do all 7 years or you do a 4-year plan or a 2-year plan, you know, whatever you do doesn't really matter. It's just that you're approaching the scripture with a longer term approach or a longer term view. I think that's what's really important for those who are struggling.
Now, my next question is somewhat in a jovial sense, but most people in their 1-year reading plans tend to drop off around the books of Numbers or Leviticus or Deuteronomy. What was it like to spend a month in the book of Leviticus?
Well, I didn't spend a month in Leviticus. I spent like 3 months. No, it was, well, here's the thing. So it's funny because people do drop off. I think they drop off because they don't have context for it. If you read Leviticus after having studied Hebrews, it just comes alive, you know? So after spending a couple years in the New Testament, understanding how the new covenant works, understanding how sacrifice works, the doctrine of atonement, you know, you go back and I remember specifically my first couple of days in the first 7 chapters of Leviticus and reading all these, you know, rituals of purification and sacrifice and all just that what was given and sacrificed for the hope of possibly atoning for sin, even though we know from Hebrews it doesn't actually accomplish anything in those cases. But just seeing the cost of sin, that all of this had to happen. Every single time you sinned, somebody had to die, an animal had to die. And just the elaborate process, I was humbled and just shaken to the core that this is all that had to take place. And it just, it drilled down the weight of my sin and my desire, my need for the Savior. And I found myself longing for Hebrews, longing for Christ. So again, you study that in its context and you really devote yourself and you look at, you know, the totality of scripture while you're studying it, and it can be incredibly fruitful. The first 7 chapters of Leviticus in that time were very enriching for me, just startled me into an understanding of holiness. Really, really cool.
So along those same lines, I'd imagine that you discovered things going through the text of scripture much more slowly and intentionally than you did possibly just checking off a reading plan. So what are some of the things that you remember realizing for the first time or really emphasizing that when you went through that 7-year period of going to the Bible that maybe you didn't before?
Yeah. So I think remembering into, you know, when I was doing the New Testament study, just seeing the cohesiveness, getting my arms around sort of the entire teaching, the apostles' teaching, as it were, just really was helpful. And I think even with the Old Testament, I grew up in going to church, you know, and I would spot read and I knew a couple of Bible stories. But, you know, going into the study, I had to admit, I did not know the Old Testament at all. I was so scared off by it. I was sort of comfortable with the New Testament. I read the Gospels a few times before, but Old Testament scared me to death. So all the things that other kids growing up in church could take for granted, I just didn't know them. So literally for me, as a new believer walking through the Old Testament, it was like every day I was discovering something brand new, you know, and I tell my wife, oh, did you know that, you know, David did this? And she's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. You know, and every day was a discovery. So, and even the stories I thought I knew, going back and realizing, you know, more about it, like right now, I'm actually going back and studying the life of Elijah and just all the things about Elijah and his ministry and his interaction with the kings. And oh, it was just, it's so rich. So I was just blown away by how beautifully rich the scriptures are, especially the Old Testament in their own right. So I think that's the thing is when you're studying, if you're trying to get to know the Word of God, make it fun for yourself. Like, make it a challenge, make it a joy, and really pique your own curiosity. You know, what was David really like? You know, what was the situation? And put yourself, R.C. Sproul used to say, find the drama. You know, find the drama. What's going on in the story? And like, stick yourself in there and look around. And it's so rewarding. So I really came as a novice. So everything I was reading for the first time, and it blew me away. And I haven't been the same since.
All right. One final question for you. What words of encouragement would you give to those who find themselves as you were many years ago, realizing that you really don't understand scripture, you don't really know God, and you want that? So they start now and they start studying the Bible for themselves, possibly while using your book. What words of encouragement and advice would you give to them?
Yeah, I think maybe two main things. I think the first thing would be, you know, to just bring yourself to the Lord. You know, don't be scared off by the whole thing, but just wherever you are, you know, just get, you know, get some time alone with God and just talk to Him. And whatever it is, confess to Him. You know, if you've been struggling, you know you should be in your Bible, but you just can't get in there, or you're having a hard time, or maybe there's a sin issue that's stopping you. I don't know. But whatever you're at, just go to God directly and just confess and ask Him for help. I think that's the best thing you can do, is ask Him to give you desire for the Word, ask Him to give you passion, ask Him to give you wisdom. You know, He's the best one who can help you to understand the scriptures. So go to God first. And I think the second thing is, be encouraged. You know, this is something God wants us to do. You know, this isn't, I'm not writing a book about something that's, I have to convince you of why this is important. I mean, God desires us to know His Word. He wants us to read. And so this is not something that has to be a scary thing that's going to frustrate you, that you can do this. It is possible for you as a believer to just begin to take these steps and just go stepwise, one step at a time, and be encouraged, because this is a good thing. It's a fruitful thing, and you can do it. Don't be scared.
Amen. Before I let you go, what we always ask, or I always ask the guests on the show, how we can be praying for you, how the audience can be praying for you in the coming months.
Yes, I appreciate that. A lot of transitions happening at our church right now. I think every church is probably experiencing some weird things happening with all this COVID stuff going on. But, you know, our church is about to make some pretty big decisions, you know, physically, which is good. And just the Lord would continue to sustain the ministry. As much as I try to do things outside, writing and, you know, doing things like this, which I always appreciate. I mean, in the end, my job is to shepherd our local church. And so I just need help. I need encouragement and prayer for that. Just that God would find our ministry faithful here and would just do really great things in New England. So, just prayer for the future for our church, for faithfulness, would be really good.
Amen. All right. Well, we will be praying for you. And thank you so much, Pastor Pickowitz, for joining me on today's show.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.